Ready. Ready.
Ready. Turn the lights on now. Go.
Welcome back to the Sports Line. Rich Roth, Ed Lane here with you on a Monday covering the Commonwealth. Coming up in just a second. First, we got to tell you a little bit about the MAT program. That, folks, stands for the Master of Arts in Teaching, and it's only at Randolph College. It's nationally accredited, it's affordable, and in just 1 year, adults who hold a bachelor's degree and who want to pursue a career in teaching can get it done. 1 year gets you in the classroom. 1 year. You will get a job teaching with a placement rate of
100%.
Say that again.
That's 100%.
100%. In fact, many participants are offered positions before they even complete the program. Here's an opportunity to teach what you love. For more information, go to randolphcollege.edu/teach. That's Randolph College. .edu/teach. Time now for covering the Commonwealth.
It was another busy sports weekend here in Central and Southwestern Virginia, and we here at the Sports Line care about our audience. So let's hear from the experts who cover the teams you care about. Here's an unoriginal idea with a local twist. Covering the Commonwealth, a quick-hitting segment with expert insight and analysis on all of the local teams. Let's start with Virginia Cavaliers.
Say it again.
The Virginia Cavaliers.
One more time. A little bit less distortion.
The Virginia Cavaliers.
Coached on the fly. I can tell you're in that coaching mood right now. A motivated, inspired Coach Raw.
12 days.
12 days.
And counting.
Yeah, TikTok.
TikTok. Covering the Commonwealth, we're going to start it out with the Virginia Cavaliers. Jerry Radcliffe joins us. I know Ed wants to talk about transfers, but I want to talk about lacrosse. Back in the NCAA tournament, it's been a while, Hootie. Are people up in Charlottesville excited?
Yeah, you know, I think generally they are. I think, you know, they're certainly a group that follows lacrosse tightly, and I know they're excited to get back. It's been a long, long time, and it's a good sign for going forward.
And it's a pretty young team, too. I mean, Lars Tiffany was brought in a couple years ago from Brown and got a little bit different style and philosophy than Dom Starja did after having all that success at Virginia. But he's kind of had to rebuild and remold this program, and lots of young players. So the future right now looks pretty bright, right?
Yeah, I mean, in the past few years, they couldn't even make the ACC tournament, so to make it to the NCAAs, even though they've got to go on the road the first round, it's quite a major accomplishment, turnaround, and, you know, I think he's doing all the right things to get the program back to where it was.
By the way, we look forward to talking with Lars Tiffany later on this week, but I know you want to talk basketball, Ed.
I do. Braxton Key, they get the transfer. He's not eligible to play this coming year, but from Alabama, he comes to sit on the bench and then goes in after that. What impact does this have on the Hoos?
Well, you know, it's just another quality recruit that they've been able to bring in, and I think that helps their image a little bit. And, you know, considering what kind of season they had, they should be able to attract guys that are pretty good. And, you know, it's awesome that he's got kind of Virginia roots and that he's Ralph Sampson's nephew. And, you know, I know Virginia fans were really excited about getting him because, you know, I guess he came down to Virginia and Miami, which to me is a no-brainer. But I think it's bodes well for the future. They've got a few commitments and et cetera for the last week or two that some guys, you know, could be interesting additions to this team.
Virginia or Miami, isn't football we're talking about.
Well, I was going to say, no-brainer. I mean, yeah. It depends on what you're considering. We are talking about, what, 19, 20-year-old kids at this point. South Beach has a lure.
Depends on what you're looking for.
Hootie, thank you. Appreciate your time as always.
Okay, guys. We'll see you next week.
Look forward to it. Covering the Commonwealth continues here on the Sports Line.
Now to the Virginia Tech Hokies.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com, joins us here on the Sports Line. Hey, Chris, been a while. Doing all right?
Yeah, man. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man. We're good. We're just enjoying the spring weather and summer rapidly approaching. And, you know, I know Virginia Tech, it's been interesting to follow them and the progress that they're making in terms of, non-revenue sports or Olympic sports. And that's a big push that Whit Babcock really has kind of gotten behind over there in Blacksburg, isn't it?
It really is. And if you think about it, Virginia Tech has been in so many different conferences over the years. I mean, they didn't get into a conference for football until 1993. And even then, the Big East didn't let them in for the rest of the sports until 2001. And after 4 years of being in the Big East, they went to the ACC. So, it's just been a lot of conference jumping around for Virginia Tech throughout the years. And finally being able to get a home in the ACC and just getting increased television revenue, you know, that's helped Virginia Tech invest money back into the Olympic sports, I think. And you're starting to see the results. I mean, especially the women's lacrosse program. I mean, it was the worst program, absolutely the worst program in the ACC before John Song was hired, and here they are in year two in the NCAA tournament.
We've seen what soccer's been able to do, and they're not elite, but they've gotten better. Baseball's invested in facilities. You reference women's lacrosse. What's the mood been like amongst Virginia Tech fans in terms of in Blacksburg going to these games and supporting the programs?
Yeah, I thought the crowd was great that first weekend when they officially opened the new stadium in Louisville. I wish the team had played a little bit better, but they're still year one of that rebuilding process. But overall, I think the community's and doing about what you would expect as far as embracing Olympic sports. I mean, it's not football, it's not men's basketball, but I think the fans are receptive to the idea that Virginia Tech is not a one-trick pony, which they were once perceived as.
Now, are they going to be okay with that? And I'm talking about the fans, considering how many years they've made fun of UVA fans for rooting for Olympic sports rather than the two big ones.
I mean, I think they'll be fine with it. I think it's not that they're making fun of UVA for rooting for those sports. It's that they're making fun of UVA fans for saying, "Oh well, we beat you in all the other sports when Virginia Tech beats them in football every year." So I think that's the point of view of Virginia Tech fans. It's like, well, I don't think UVA fans would talk nearly as much about the Olympic sports if they were actually good at football. That's my personal opinion.
Good stuff.
At least they wouldn't talk to Virginia Tech fans about Olympic sports if they could actually beat Tech in football. I don't know. Maybe I'll be proved wrong in that
fired.
In time if they, when they do beat Virginia Tech again. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
When
you got a date that you're predicting for that happening?
Oh goodness! I wasn't old enough to buy a beer the last time it happened, so I don't think I'm going to put a date on.
Good stuff, Chris. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate the time.
All right, appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Covering the Commonwealth continues.
Now to the Liberty Flame.
Damian Sordelet, Lynchburg News and Advance. And we'll talk about the Fox Puss here in a second, but I know the Big South Baseball Tournament is rapidly approaching, and that's going to be right here in Lynchburg. And baseball's a big sport for the Flames. Lots of time, money, and resources have been invested in that. So let's talk a little bit about the baseball team as we're approaching the upcoming Big South Tournament, where, and you touched on it last week, Damian, it's pretty much got to win that thing to have a shot or to get into the NCAA tournament, right?
Yeah, exactly. You hit the nail right on the head. And with 2 weekends remaining in Big South play, home series against Radford this weekend, and then on the road against preseason favorite Winthrop to close it out, two good challenges for Liberty, especially coming off losing all 3 games up at St. John's, including the final two in heartbreaking fashion. These are series Liberty needs to get in position where they can be either a 2 or a 3 seed and have an opportunity to make a run and challenge Campbell, right now the team to beat in the Big South.
You mentioned that St. John's series for Liberty, and St. John's a top 25 baseball program. How close is Liberty to consistently performing at that kind of a level?
Get more pitching. I think that would be a big thing that will help Liberty. And, you know, you can always point to pitching. If you look at what happened over the weekend, Garrett Price, the team's best starter, got allowed 8 runs in 2 1/3 innings. And then Zach Clinton, who's been the second best pitcher this year, got through 5 1/3, but was also touched up for, 5 runs. But then you get into, Noah Skiro, who's been somewhat inconsistent this year as a freshman, and then he throws a gem Sunday. So it looks promising with all the freshman pitching they've had to throw out there that they can contend. They have 2 more midweek games this year, both against Duke. Duke's a top 15 team. That will be a good test this week down at Durham Bulls Athletic Park, and then next week at Liberty to see if Liberty can, take a step further and contend, against ranked teams and, like you said, try to be on the winning side of some of those.
Now to golf.
Double duty for Damian Sordelec as he was over at the Fox. As he was over at the Foxbus this weekend, and little 66 by UVA freshman. I'm just waiting to be scolded for that one.
First year, Rich.
Jimmy Massey, EC Glass Hilltopper, belongs to Boonesboro Country Club, and little 66 to force the playoff, and he won it on the second playoff hole. Nice final round for him to get a championship and tournament that he really wanted to win.
Yeah, it was actually a good 2 rounds. He was 4 over after the first day, had really bad shots, but then put a 3-under 68 on the board in the second round to get himself within 5 strokes, and then he was a model of consistency. When you don't bogey at Boonesboro, especially when the golf course is set up for scoring, they had some really good 10 placements, some really short tee boxes where they had a par 4 yesterday that was drivable.
Wow.
And they tried to set it up where you could get some low scores. And, Connor Burgess, who is a 2016 Fox Push champion, Glass graduate, and is at Virginia Tech, he also shot a 66. So those guys went low, and Justin Long admitted he gave that one away with the amount of 2 and 3 putts on the green that he had. But Massey earned it. He putted well. He played well out of the fairway to get, on the green in regulation. He only missed 1 green in regulation yesterday, and that was big for him to, come off a really good first-year season at UVA, win the Fox Puss, and, have a busy week this week with the U.S. Open qualifier at Farmington Country Club in Charlottesville, and then he and the Cavaliers are heading to Norman to play in the regional.
Good stuff, Damian. Thank you, man.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
And finally,
time to talk a little NASCAR, Ed.
Yes, Kevin Harvick dominant at Dover. Is this Kevin being Kevin, or is this how Dover just sets up, Tom, and Kevin's the latest driver to dominate that track?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, guys. I mean, Kevin's been the most dominant driver so far this season. Took a couple weeks, I wouldn't say off, but, Kyle Busch has been asserting himself, on top of the NASCAR ladder and, throwing out a couple wins in a row, so it was back to business for Kevin this weekend at Dover. But it's very much a track position race. And, Harvick got himself out front, won both stages, and it was very hard to dislodge him from this front because clean air is more important at Dover than almost any place else we go, even though it's a tiny one-mile track. So it was very, very difficult to pass on Sunday.
Tom Bowles, frontstretch.com, joining us here talking some NASCAR. And I know we only have like 1 minute left, so I'll yield the floor to Ed to ask a more relevant question than I would ask.
Well, thanks, Rich, for just taking up useless time that way. You mentioned what Kevin Harvick did at Dover. Is this back to Kevin dominating, or is this just, as you mentioned, track position and how that track sets up?
No, I definitely think that Kevin reasserted himself as the championship favorite after a month of Kyle Busch on top. and you look at Stuart Haas Racing, they have four cars, all four cars in playoff position right now, and they put three cars in the top five at Dover for the first time ever in a cup race. So SHR is flying high in the cup series at the moment.
Tom, thank you, man. Appreciate your time as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Tom Bowles, frontstretch.com. Joining us here on the Sports Line, covering the Commonwealth, and we're going to extend covering the Commonwealth when we come back. Is we're going to talk with Jimmy Massey, the guy who just won the Fox Puss, Lynchburg guy, EC Glass, now a first year freshman up in Charlottesville with the Virginia Cavaliers. He'll join us when we come back. Stick around. You're listening to the Sports Line.